oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs. New York Times reporting. Very romantic. This is Ethiopia. The Tigrayan fighters whooped, whistled, and pointed excitedly to a puff of smoke in the sky, where an Ethiopian military cargo plane trundling over the village minutes earlier had been struck by a missile. "Soon we're going to win," said Azeb Dasagni, a 20-year-old with an AK-47 over her shoulder. I stopped there. Gregory, this is the romance of a ragtag army of villagers with AK-47s rising up against an oppressor. However, that is not the large story of the Horn of Africa seeking to return to the sovereignty and prosperity of once upon a time 100 years ago. The Tigray Popular Liberation Front, a young woman, a 20-year-old young woman with an AK-47 over her shoulder. What does it represent? Who is the authority that puts this in the field? And what can Ethiopia do about it?
Well, we've been dealt over the past few months a series of myths about the whole crisis on the Nile between Egypt, Sudan, Ethiopia, Eritrea, and the like, and what's happening with the TPLF. Now, bear in mind that the TPLF, which is a very, very radical Marxist guerrilla group, which became essentially the government of Ethiopia from the collapse of Soviet support for the Derg, in other words, about 1990 onwards. So 1990 to 2018, you had this communist group, which represents a fraction of the, you know, a minute fraction of the Ethiopian population. They were controlling the country ruthlessly. Now, the United States needed access to airfields in southern Ethiopia, so they paid off the TPLF. They gave them arms. They trained the TPLF militia, we're not talking about the Ethiopian National Army. We're talking about the TPLF militia. Armed them, trained them with special forces training, about 30,000 of them, gave them vast amounts of money, billions. And the TPLF basically stole that money. They took about $30 billion in total from the aid and from the covert funding and from the Ethiopian Treasury. And when their government collapsed in 2018, not because they were overthrown, but because they actually collapsed, the new government under Dr. Abiy took over, and the TPLF then went back to the bush and started a guerrilla war against both Ethiopia as a whole, but against some of their neighbors, including the Eritreans and the Amhara people and the like. Now, the Egyptians are one of the groups helping to support the TPLF today, but they had this incredible array of weapons. You have to ask, who would equip them with things like surface-to-air missiles? And the answer is the U.S. did to a degree, and so did the Egyptians. But also you had there are others in the mix as well, including the Turks. So now, did Dr. Abiy handle it well when the TPLF declared war and then basically escalated it in November last year? It wasn't the Ethiopian government that started this. It was atrocities deliberately created by the TPLF against particularly the Amhara people, which got all this going. And the TPLF have been using a lot of their money not just to buy AK-47s and SA-7s, but also to fund big information operations in the United States. They've got a big office in Washington, D.C., and they have lots and lots of friends from the Clinton and Obama days, like Susan Rice, like the Secretary of State, Antony Blinken. So they basically have this entrenched support base here. So, of course, this is playing out in the New York Times, this naive romanticism. But the reality is that there are big things at stake, including the security and stability of the Horn of Africa, and therefore the stability of the lower Red Sea, which is the vital sea link up into the Suez Canal, to and from the Suez Canal. So yes, Antony Blinken and British foreign commonwealth always can support the Egyptian government because the Egyptian government is at war in a sense, as it always has been with Ethiopia. But the reality is that this is not going to buy security for the great ocean shipping lane, which goes through the Mediterranean and down through the Red Sea, linking the Atlantic with the Pacific. So we're now seeing this incredible dilemma. And the Prime Minister Abiy of Ethiopia has handled it very, very badly. He has not been taking advice. And I know this from first-hand basis, talking to a lot of people. He's so preoccupied with reacting to threats against him that he hasn't realized the longer-term view. And he thought that by having open, transparent elections, the first transparent elections since the Emperor Haile Selassie of Ethiopia was murdered in 1975, this is the first free election since that time. And yes, they restored Abiy to power, but it didn't restore him to his darling status in the eyes of the global media.
Gregory, we just have less than a minute. This young woman, 20 years old, with an AK-47, celebrating a SAM shootdown of an aircraft and the death of these soldiers. What's her future here in this? Do we have an understanding of what this celebration of the Tigray Popular Liberation Front means for her? 5 years from now or 10 years from now? Is there any hope for her prosperity?
Not if the TPLF wins. If the TPLF wins, Tigray is an isolated, landlocked country, which will be bypassed by the rest of Ethiopia. It will have no major natural resources. It will have a few tourist areas, but it will be poverty-stricken and disenfranchised from the rest of its historical family of nations in the Ethiopic peoples. So her future is bleak. And so the TPLF has condemned the Tigrayan population, which does not really support the TPLF except, on occasions such as the last couple of weeks where you've seen some spontaneous support.
Gregory Copley, editor and publisher, Defense and Foreign Affairs. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchel.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.